You're meant to grow with the church. That's our title today. You know, I've been in the church for many, many years, and I have a lot of friends that love God, and I've heard this idea from multiple people, not everyone, but multiple people that say the church is terrible. I love God, but the church is terrible. Now, can I get a big amen if you agree? No, just kidding. What do you think about this idea? Do we really need the church? Or is it possible for us just to grow on our own? Do we really need the church? Or is it possible for us just to love God and be okay without being a part of a church? I know of multiple people that have left the church because they say they love God, but then the church is just a terrible place. And so they decide just to worship God on Sundays on their own at their home. There are many people like this. But is this what God intended? Is this what God desires? Is it possible for us to grow without a church? Now, this is not just for those people that have become embittered, those people that have been hurt by the church and have left. You know, there are many others out there. For example, missionaries. They go to another country. And maybe there aren't any churches, but maybe there are churches that are over there. And for various reasons, some of these missionaries, they decide they don't necessarily need to be a part of a church. They just need to have their own worship at home, and that's good enough. So I want to ask that question. Do we need the church? Do we need to have a place, not just a place, but do we need to be gathering together on Sundays? Or is it possible for each of us just to stay at home, read God's word, pray, and that's good enough? Do we need the church? Well, as we began to see, even in the previous passages, in the past weeks, we've been hearing about how God has raised us up with Christ and made us into one. Who are the one? Well, the great mystery that God was revealing to his people is that not only the Jews would be his people, but also the Gentiles would be brought into the family of God and they would become one together. And this was the great mystery, that God would be the one saving people from all around the world for his glory. And he's made them into one. And so as we continue on with this idea, it's not just one section in the book of Ephesians that talks about this idea. Actually, this is one of the main emphases in the book of Ephesians. And you'll find this emphasis in multiple books in the Bible that we are a church. We are a body of Christ together. We are supposed to be a family together. And this is not just talking about the whole church, the universal church, that we together, the whole universal church, is a body of Christ. This is specifically talking about how every single local church, every church that gathers like this together, whether it be us here or on the second floor, Every Nation, or down the street, the Pearl Church, or across the street from National Taiwan University at Grace Baptist or Truth Lutheran, it's talking about these local churches being the body of Christ. And so there's this emphasis, and we're going to see that emphasis today again. The main idea for today is that you were meant to grow with the church. This is how God designed it. This is how God wants us to be able to grow. This is the way that God made it, so that we would be able to grow in community, not just as individuals. And so you were meant to grow with the church. So be available to serve and be served. The three points we're going to go through today are: number one, grow or walk worthily. Number two, maintain unity. And number three, work of ministry. So once again, our main idea is that you are meant to grow with the church. So be available to serve and be served. And the 3 points are to grow worthily, 2, maintain unity, and 3, work of ministry. Let's talk about this first idea, to grow or to walk worthily. We've been talking about the book of Ephesians, and we're talking about Ephesus, this church that existed in Ephesus many, many years ago, about 2,000 years ago. And this is a current picture of Ephesus. It's one of the amphitheaters that they have there, and one of the places that's still preserved. They dug it up and they found this place. And so in Ephesus, as I mentioned in the past, Ephesus was a major city during that time. There are people that were coming from all around the world. It was one of the major religious hubs. It was one of the major commerce hubs. It was a place of business. It was a place of influence. And so as there are a lot of people that come from all around the world that come into Ephesus, there are also many voices that are teaching you, this is what your purpose is. This is how you're supposed to live your life. This is what you should focus on. This is how you're going to be successful. This is how you're going to be happy. This is how you're going to find love. There are all these voices that are coming in telling you how you should live your life. And as they were hearing all these voices, the church now has a responsibility to keep thinking about which voice is the right voice. Which one will really bring us success and happiness and love and fulfillment in life? And so the church, they continue to gather together to think about and to look to God's word together to understand what it is that we need to do as Christians in this world where there are so many influences. Paul talked about earlier in the book of Ephesians how God was working from the beginning of time, how God is the one that has a purpose in this world, how God is working in your life to give you a purpose. And he talked about how we are saved by grace through faith. It's not by what you do that you're saved, but it's everything that God has done so that you can be saved. And then the very next verse after that idea is this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then so our passage today starts off with a similar idea. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, and he says, I am a prisoner. I'm not supposed to be some authority per se over you. I'm not supposed to be some person that you worship. I'm not some kind of king over you. I want you to know that I'm a prisoner of the Lord. But as a prisoner of the Lord, I want to urge you now. I want to urge you to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Walk in a worthy way. Grow in a worthy manner. As we think about that, what does it mean to grow or to walk in a worthy manner? It says, walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That calling is the call of God. God has called you to become alive, to walk with the Lord, to have a relationship with God, to be a light in this world. You were meant to belong. You were meant to share the gospel. You were meant to live for God. And you were meant to grow with the church. But it says here, walk in a manner worthy of that calling. What does that look like? Well, in the very next verse, it makes it very clear. It says, with all humility, the way you walk in a manner that's worthy is you walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. As we think about these words, it's not hard to understand what these words mean. I don't have to go into deep Greek study to help you understand what these words mean. A lot of times when people look at this passage and I'm telling them we have to do these things, we have to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord with all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. The question is not, what does that mean? The question is, how do I do that? It's hard. If you just know what this person has done to me, Pastor, then you would know. I mean, even you, Pastor, you might not be humble, or you might not have humility. You might not be gentle with this person. And this is how some of us think. This is how some of us talk. Again, it's not something that's hard to understand. We don't have to search through Scripture to understand the meaning of these things. Sometimes we try to search through Scripture to find the meaning of these things because we want to find if there's some way that I have a pass for these things, that I'm okay, that somehow I am fulfilling these words, and so I'm going to find deeply what this word means, because I'm going to try to find that, yes, I am doing it that way, but not in the way that I normally think of that word. No. You know exactly what these words mean. Question is, are you walking in this way, in a manner that's worthy of the calling that God has called you to? We're going to go into a little bit more detail about this idea, but I want you to take a moment to think through, why is it hard for me to do this? Why is it hard for me to have humility? To be okay when I'm humiliated? I know the words mean a little bit different things, but just think about it. It's the same idea as being humbled. Humbled is a good word. Being humiliated is a bad word. But there's a similar idea there. How can I be okay and still be gentle with someone, no matter how frustrating that person is? Why is it difficult for me to be patient with someone, even though you've tried to be patient with them for 5 years already? Maybe some of us are saying, I've been patient with them for 1 month. Right? Why is it difficult for us to bear with one another in love? Well, as we think about that, I want you to think about that. I'm not going to give you the answer right now. But think about that. Why is it difficult for you? What is it that you're hoping? What is it that you're looking for? See, the idea here is that we need to be walking in this manner, this worthiness, according to the calling that we have. And this is the way that we should be doing it. And sometimes when we think about that idea, we think that we need to be growing as individuals in this way. But in actuality, if you think about these words, a lot of it has to do with our relationship with other people, how we relate with other people. And so this idea of living for the Lord, this idea of walking in a manner that's worthy of the calling, has to actually do with how are you in your relationships with other people. But let's make it a little bit more specific. In the very next verse, it says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so it's not necessarily just talking about, are you able to be gentle and humble and bearing with one another in love with people outside the church. Let's first start with, how are we doing with one another here? We need to be eager to maintain the unity that's in our church. There are times that we are hanging out with one another where we are struggling because that person is just so annoying. There are times that we are struggling because maybe that person is just so mean. That person is not sensitive enough. That person doesn't know my background. That person doesn't know my culture. We have people from all around the world here. That person, they don't know what my family background is like. And so for all these reasons, we keep our distance from one another. For all these reasons, we say, well, that person is an extrovert, I'm an introvert, so I have an excuse not to go and talk to other people. It's just who I am. And we have all these reasons of why we're not getting to know each other. Maybe we only get to know people that are from the same group of people that I'm from. We don't reach out. And without even trying, the unity is lost. Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner that's worthy of this calling, being eager to maintain the unity. And that's where we come to our next point. See, we're meant to grow with the church. Paul calls us to walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling that we've received. And he tells us that that should result in us being unified. So we need to keep this at the forefront of our minds, that the church is so important. It's not just an option. No matter how bad the people are in the church, people are going to be bad in the church. We're all sinners. I mean, it's like when you get married, you think that you're going to get married to this wonderful person that you found and everything's going to be happy for the rest of your life. You're going to live happily ever after. Is that what you expect? Talk to any married couple. That's not true. Now, every once in a while, there's a married couple that say, oh, yeah, it's just so wonderful. It's been wonderful for 50 years. It might be because they forgot. When two people who are sinners, they come into a situation where they're close to one another, they begin to see that the other person is a sinner. And these two people, they begin to hurt each other in ways that you thought they shouldn't. Your expectations aren't met. You feel like you're the one that's carrying all the burden. And you end up sinning against each other the closer you get. Maybe for some of us here, we like this church because you're not close to anyone. Because if you start to get closer and closer, if you actually start to attend a community group, if you actually start to become friends with some people in the church, especially with people that are a little bit different from you, you will get hurt. You will be sinned against. Paul knows that. And that's why he says, be eager to keep the unity. Remember, they were in Ephesus. They had all these other voices that are telling them, hey, you're part of that church? You're sharing with me that you have some trouble with some other person in the church? Just leave it. You'll be happier that way. You hear other voices that come in that say, you have a problem with that person? Just stay away from them. You don't need to bring trouble to yourself. You hear all these other voices that are telling you, save yourself, make yourself happy, and break the unity. You see, that's not just something that happened back then in Ephesus. That happens in our church now. And the voices don't necessarily have to be from outside the church. The voices are from within yourself. Save yourself. Make yourself happy and comfortable. Make yourself be okay with God, and it doesn't matter what it's like with other people. But Paul says, be eager to maintain unity. Why does he say this? What is this unity all about? Well, Paul explains. He says, look, this is in the very next verse. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. He uses this word so many times. One. One. Let me just list it out for you. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. One body. God has raised us up with Christ so that we are Christ's body. How can one part of the body ignore another part of the body? How can one part of the body say, you have nothing to do with me? How can one part of the body say, you hurt me? And so I'm just not going to have anything to do with you. That's not possible. We are Christ's body. We are one family. We are one unit. We have one spirit. The one spirit that came down from heaven, down to his people after Jesus Christ left. And that same spirit is the spirit that's working in you is the same spirit that's working in that other person that's sitting across from you in this church. We have one spirit. And so I'm growing, and I could be very, very kind and merciful and compassionate with myself because I say I'm growing, but then have that same kind of compassion and mercy and forgiveness for the other person because God is also working in that person and that person is growing as well. One hope. It says one hope of the call that we have together. And that call is that one day Christ will come back and he will make us all perfect. He will make us all whole. We will all be made holy. We know that we all have the same destination, and we all know that right now we are all sinners and we're not there yet. No one is perfect. You can excuse yourself for not being perfect, but why aren't you excusing, in a manner of speaking, the other person for not being perfect? Why are you still holding that other person to such a high standard? As if you are able to do that? As if you're able to fulfill that standard? No, we all have one hope that one day all of us that are believers in Jesus Christ will be made perfect, but for now we are all still sinners on the road to becoming more and more like Christ. We have one Lord. One Savior, the one that saved you, is the same one that saved that person. One faith, one belief. Jesus Christ came and died for the forgiveness of your sins. And he rose from the dead, conquering sin and conquering death. And he's alive today. We have that one faith together. One baptism. What is this about? It doesn't mean that we were all baptized and that's it. What it means is that when you were baptized, you were welcomed into the church. And so it means that all of us were accepted into this church. Yes, by the church, but even more so by God. God is the one that has allowed you who are members of this church to be accepted by the church, to be counted as someone that we are committed to. We are committed to each other and we are committed to growing together. We have that one baptism. And even if you are baptized at another church, it's okay. When you come into a new church, you say, I'm going to commit to this church. And the church is committed to me, and we're going to grow together. And so wherever you're at, you remember the baptism that you had, and you join that church, and you say, now I'm going to be committed to this church. So many of us here are here in Taiwan for a short period of time. That's all right. But during the time that you're here in Taiwan, commit. Commit to the church. Be a part of the church. Grow with the church. And the last one is that we have one God, one Father. The God that's taking care of you is the same God that's taking care of the other person. And so as we think about these truths, we want to maintain the unity. We want to be eager to maintain the unity because it's not for the sake of this church. It's not for my sake, the pastor's sake. It's because this, God has designed it this way. Because God has designed it this way, we are meant to grow together. We are meant to be committed together. Even if you're here for just a few weeks, if you're committed to be at this church for the few weeks, let's be here together, grow together. Because this is what God has designed it to be. It goes on to say this, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? It goes on to talk about Christ. But why does it talk about Christ? You see, the thing is that as we are here and we're thinking about unity and we're really wanting to seek unity in our church, some of us are feeling convicted. Some of us have felt convicted in the past sermons, and many of you have decided to join membership. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But today, some of us are still in a place where we're feeling kind of shy. I don't know if I'm able to really reach out and talk to other people. Some of us, we actually have conflict with other people in this church. Some of us, there's been a long history of conflict. And some of us, we're just so comfortable in the group of people that we hang out with that we ignore other people in the church. Some of us, we're just so used to leaving church right after and not really caring about anyone else in the church. And you're just thinking, I just need to come to church and do my thing. And it's not about me and other people. It's just about me and God. And that's it. And so you leave right after church is done. If we were meant to grow with the church, then in keeping the mindsets that we have, this type of mindset, we're actually going against the purpose that God has made for us. And we are sinning against the Lord. If you see in any way that your growth with the church is not important, then you are sinning against the Lord. Because if you think about it a little bit more carefully, behind all of those reasons is something that points to yourself and how you are more important than what God has commanded. I want to leave right away because that's what I'm used to. I don't necessarily want to go and meet new people because that is what makes me feel comfortable. I feel comfortable with the people that I'm already meeting with. I have a problem with that other person, and I don't want anything to do with that other person because I have a problem with that person. I want to be at the church, but I feel like no one's really reaching out to me. And so I just leave right after, right away. Because I feel like I need to belong, but no one is helping me to feel belonging. Me, me, me. Just think about carefully. What is the reason why it's hard for you to be gentle and patient, having humility, to be willing to grow together here? A lot of times, the reason comes back to what you want. And so, when we look at this quote from Scripture, again, it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And then it goes on to explain that if he ascended, then that means he also descended into the lower regions. And this is talking about how Jesus Christ, he did ascend into heaven, but if it talks about him ascending, it also meant that he descended and that he died for our sins. This is what's important. This is what's going to bring about unity. This is what's going to bring about change in your heart. The fact that we are so selfish is because we are sinners. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He descended. He died for us. He was buried in the grave so that your sins may be forgiven. So that today you don't have to be stopped by all the guilty feelings that you have in your heart. Or you don't have to run away thinking that the pastor is so harsh pointing out these things. What we can do is we can hold on to the truth that your sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ already died for you. And he has the victory because of what he accomplished on the cross. And not only that, he rose again from the dead and he ascended on high. And he's in charge of all that's going on. And so everything that you encounter in the church, all the challenges that you encounter in the church is because God is working in you. He's saying, I want you to be clear what you suffer with, what you are struggling with. I want you to understand that you need me in this particular area of your heart. You're seeking comfort when you can get comfort from me. You're seeking a sense of belonging when you can know that you belong to me. You're seeking a sense of control and wanting things to be a little bit more safe when you can find that in me. You see, when you get married to someone, you find out how much of a sinner they are. The only reason why this marriage is going to grow, not just be okay with each other, but actually grow, is when the people are looking to Christ and are satisfied with Christ and no longer thinking selfishly, but starting to think, how can I help and be a loving person for my spouse? In a similar way, in the church, the only way that we can grow, the only way that you as an individual can grow, is when we become closer to each other and see how we sin against each other and see the depths of my heart and how I'm responding with sin so that I can turn away from those things and I turn to Christ and say, Jesus, you're the one that's able to fulfill me. And so my heart begins to change so that I no longer am so focused on myself, but I begin to think in a way of how can I really help this person? How can I serve this person? How can I love this person? That quote that our passage quotes from comes from Psalm 68. And it says this, the chariots of God are twice 10,000, just showing that God is powerful enough to conquer anything, even sin, even death, even the sin that's in your own hearts. God is able to conquer it. Jesus is able to conquer it. The chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. You ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. And it goes on in the passage. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily bears up. God is our salvation. Do you see that? It says God is the one that has victory. God is the one that has brought the captives out of slavery into freedom. And not only that, God has got all the spoils, all the things that he won from his victory, and he's giving them to the people that were held captive before. These people that were prisoners, that were set free. And remember Paul says, now I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. These people that God has set free, now God is there daily, bearing them up, helping them. You see, even in our lives now, in the ways that we struggle, what Jesus does for us through the Holy Spirit is that he is continually with us, helping us, guiding us, telling us, turn to me, I can help you. Turn to my ways. I can help you. God is our salvation. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, the Lord, belong deliverances from death. But then there's a warning at the end of the psalm. But God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. You see, you have a choice. You can choose to try to grow on your own. Or you can believe what God has said through his word, that the way to grow in your Christian walk, the way to grow even as a human being, is to grow with the church. And when you choose to grow with the church, God will provide all the things that you need to be able to grow. It might not be easy, but God will give you all the gifts that you need. God will provide all the comfort that you need. God will give you all the love and the sense of belonging that you need to be able to grow with the church. What does that look like? Well, we come to our third point, work of ministry. Remember, it says that Christ, he brought the captives and he gave gifts. And then it goes on to specifically say, what are some of those gifts? And it says he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. In another version, it used the word pastor instead of shepherds. So, yes, God gave gifts to those that are leaders in the church. Those, especially during that time, in the time of Ephesus, the prophets, the evangelists, the apostles, the shepherds, and the teachers, they were the ones that were continually teaching about God's word and explaining God's word, even using the Old Testament. And some of these people, they wrote letters and they wrote gospel books to tell us, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus teach? And so because of this verse, because of this specific verse, we believe that these people, they have provided God's word for us. And so that's why we look through scripture and we say that this is God's word for us. So yes, God has given us these people with these specific gifts so that we can learn and grow from them. That's why the preaching of God's word on Sundays is so important. The worship music is important. The liturgy, the reading back and forth, what the leader says and how the congregation responds, that's all important. Giving of our offerings, that's all important. But this preaching of God's word, this is so important because we believe that as God has given gifts to certain people, he has given these gifts so that it can help, in the next verse it says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, this is where it comes to you. I don't teach here, I don't preach here, just so that you can be fed and you can feel, ah, I'm so full from God's word. I'm going to go home and take a nap now because, man, I'm so full. That's not what it's for. It says the reason why you are being fed in this way, the reason why it's important for you to learn and grow is so that you can be equipped for the work of ministry, so that you can, the word ministry here is about serving. It's so that you can serve one another here, so that you can be a blessing to one another. I preach. We look to God's word together so that you can learn what it means to be able to serve one another, so that we can grow together. We need to do this, because if you don't, there's a result that follows. If we do, we will grow. If we don't, what ends up happening is that the world will influence us more than God's word. There's a quote that I found in the community group study that we're going through, and it says this: if a local church is not providing meaningful gospel-based help, people will go elsewhere. Their experience will either encourage them and others to see the power of the gospel, or convince them that the gospel is not enough to deal with life's problems. Every week, I want to share with you about Jesus Christ. Every week, I want to point to the fact that we ourselves is not enough. We're not enough. And we need Jesus in our lives. And Jesus has the power to change every aspect of your life. But if we're not growing together, if this is not the message that we're talking about with every person that we see in the church, we're going to be more influenced by YouTube, by Instagram. We're going to be influenced by people at work and by our neighbors and our family. And it's going to take us away from God's word. It's going to take us away from the Lord. And you will struggle as a Christian. And you will begin to think that maybe I shouldn't be a part of this church. Maybe I should find another church. And you find yourself going through the same cycle with that other church. Or maybe you find a church that you feel really like you belong. But then as soon as they make you feel like you don't belong anymore, then you start looking for another church again. And then eventually you get so jaded. You get so discouraged by the church, you decide to just leave the church altogether, and you end up being one of those people that just say, I just need God and I don't need the church. You see how that happens? You see that pattern? It all starts with the idea whether we look to Christ or not. But if we do look to Christ, we need to make it a point that we grow with the church. The point of it all, it says, until we want to keep serving one another, we want to keep growing with one another, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, every wind of influence, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. You see? This is exactly what Scripture is talking about. Either we will grow together, or we will be influenced by what the world says, and you will end up becoming alone somewhere, thinking that you're worshiping God, thinking that you're able to grow, when in actuality you're not. I don't want the motivation to be, I'm afraid of that result. The motivation should be, yes, we do fail, but let's look to Christ together. Jesus is our everything. He is in all. He's working through all. He's with us. He is our everything. And so let's look to him together. I want to just end here with a couple of practical things, a number of practical things here. And I think most of them are pretty self-explanatory. And so it says, make church attendance, serve and be served. How do we focus on this? How do we focus on growing with the church together? Make church attendance a priority. I don't mean just any church. Make church attendance at this church. If you are committed to this church, make church attendance a priority. I know there are times that you want to go on vacation. Fine. I know there are times that you need to do something for work. Fine. But make it a priority that if there's no other reason that is like a really strong reason, make coming to church a priority, right? If you might have a funeral that you might have to go to, fine. You know, a vacation twice, maybe three times a year, fine. You know, maybe you have to do something for work. Maybe it'll take you away from church for 1 month straight. Fine, that's okay. But are you longing to come back to the church? Are you longing to make this place where you're at? I want to be here. I miss being here. Make church attendance a priority. Second one, be dedicated to grow with the church. Be dedicated to that. Make this an idea that's, you know, church is not just about me going and sitting here on Sunday for an hour and a half and that's it. That's not it. Make the idea of growing with the church, getting to know other people, something that you're dedicated to. Next one, be willing to reach out, initiate. Be willing to reach out of your comfort zone. Be willing to reach out to the person that hurts you. Be willing to get to know that person that you see every single Sunday that doesn't talk to anyone else. Be willing to initiate and reach out. But at the same time, as you reach out to people, expect to be hurt. As we've talked about, expect to be hurt. and then be eager for unity. Just as Christ forgave us, just as Christ sought reconciliation with us, we also want to seek that with other people. And then, as God has given us gifts, the things that we're passionate about, the things that we see clearly that maybe other people don't see, the things that we're able to do that other people aren't able to do, use those gifts to bless the church. And I wrote not just one there, because some people, they think that you just have that one gift and you just need to discover what that one gift is. And you try really hard to find out what that one gift is, but you feel like you don't know what that is. And you're always feeling a little bit lost. No, it's not like that. God has given you multiple gifts. It's not just that one thing. God has given you multiple gifts. It's those things that come a little bit easy. Maybe you have a criticism about the church. Well, that's because you have a gift in that particular area, and possibly God wants you to help the church in that particular area. And so just seek to be involved in the church. All you have to do is just say, I'm willing. And then you'll begin to see how you can help the church more. The gifts will come out naturally. And the last one is just grow with the church. Let's grow together. You're meant to grow with the church. Let's begin to change our hearts and our thinking as we look to our Lord Jesus Christ to see that growing with the church is a priority. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your truth, for your word. Thank you so much that you are speaking to us today, challenging us, helping us to understand that even ourselves, we're not able to do those things. We're not able to be gentle and bearing one another with love. We're not able to do it on our own. But Lord, as we look to our Lord Jesus Christ together, Lord, we see how you did all that for us. Lord, help us to do that for one another here. God, may it be for your glory, and so that your name would be made famous around the world through us, through this church. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.